This program was paid for by Water of Life Church. From Water of Life Ministries in Plano, Texas, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is speaking through his servants to the world. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. Let us join Doyle Davidson and others of Water of Life, sowing the Word of God in spirit and in truth.
Hello, I'm Doyle Davidson, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, and sent to your house by God. I want to welcome you to this continuation of our teachings that we taught back in the 80s at Water of Life Christian Training School. We are continuing on with repentance from dead works. Last night, we left off with three verses in James chapter 2, which I would like for Kathy D. to read.
That's James 2, 17 through 20. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works.
As I said last time, that for 40 years I lived by faith, walked by faith. And that's not saying if I'm going to do this, you're going to have to give me money. Don't need your money. Or if we're going to go on this television broadcast and continue, you're going to have to pay. No, you don't have to pay at all. You see, a person that lives by faith calls those things that are not as though they were. And God handles all of my walk. It's been 40 years. So we're teaching you by the Spirit of God. When my heart has been perfected to this degree with faith and love, I realize you don't like that because the words that I speak, their spirit and their truth and their heart. They cut like a two-edged sword. That's the Word of God. That's Hebrews 4:12. Now, last time we talked about a foundation. Primarily we got to some repentance from dead works. But you have to take the foundation that's in people, the false one, and you have to root it out, tear it down, throw it down, destroy it. Plant and build. That's Jeremiah chapter 1. God said to Jeremiah, he set him over all nations for that purpose. And that's what he's done with me. I'm an apostle and prophet of Jesus Christ. So if we can continue on, I think Kathy would read from Romans 10, 17. Is that right?
That's right. 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Anything that God tells you to do, anything, doesn't matter what it is, just covers everything. He will speak to you, he will tell you what to do, and he'll give you the faith to perform it. The faith will come by hearing the Word of God, what God says. If you read over the fourth chapter, we won't, book of Romans, you will see that Abraham was a man that God said to him, so shall thy seed be. And when he said that to him, he gave him the faith to bring it to pass. God has said many things to me in the past 40 years, and everything that he said, he ministered to me the spirit of faith. Now, God will give you that faith, but it has to be finished. God is the author and the finisher of your faith. That's Hebrews chapter 12. So, faith comes by hearing what God tells you to do. The reason many people, many ministers cannot do what God wants because, or what they say God wants, is because God never sent them. And therefore, he did not give them the faith to do what they want to do. Not what God wants, but what they want to do. So when God tells you something, along with that word comes the faith. Romans 10, 17. What's next?
2 Peter 3, 9.
Oh, this is a good one. 2 Peter 3, 9. Remember, the Apostle Peter was the apostle to the Jews. After Jesus got through saying to him, when he was trying to keep Jesus from obeying the Father, Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things of man and not of God." That's what a lot of you do. And you wonder why the Spirit of God is someone says, "Get back. That's not right." Makes you mad. Keep your mouth shut. And don't be walking in that spirit of rebellion. Now, what are we going to do? 2 Peter 3, 9.
3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
This is a verse of Scripture that many people use. They use to say that Jesus wants you saved. No, he wants you to come to repentance. But you know, you can stand up at some crusade, you can stand up at some church, you can profess Jesus and never have repented. Never repented. God wants every man to come to repentance. And you'll have to come to repentance to ever obey God. Repentance and then faith, the Word of God. We'll be taking that up later. All right? Let's go on.
All right, Romans 2:4.
Oh, this is a good one. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Those of you that have heard about me and have heard any of my testimonies or teachings know that in 1972, in the month of May, God put me in a Holiday Inn, Denton, Texas, which is just west of where I stand now, some 30, 35 miles. Put me there, left me there for 10 weeks. Oh, I could get out in the daytime, but I couldn't do anything. I was trying to buy some property, had the money to make a large down payment, and couldn't find a piece of property that God would let me have. You want to know why? Because God was teaching me, that's led to repentance. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't want to say that. That was a hard time. Locked up in a Holiday Inn. And it was God led me to repentance. Oh, the old religion came out of me. I could say, "Lord, forgive me." It did no good. "Lord, I am sorry." It did no good. "Lord, I have been wrong." It did no good. When I finally got so disgusted in that position, God was breaking my heart, and God is nigh to a broken and a contrite heart. And that is one that has been brought to repentance.
So there's two different. There's being born again, and then there's being brought to repentance. They are not the same thing.
Oh, born again is a one-time experience. That's received the Lord. That's he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 2, what, 16?
Right.
But repentance is from dead works, from every religious thing you ever did. You know what preachers preach to sinners? You've been in adultery, you've been in bars, you've been smoking, you've been drinking, you've been cursing. But he never says to that congregation that's so wicked sitting there, "You wicked thing, you haven't believed God ever." Did you know that's wicked? Did you know only God can lead you to repentance, to believe the gospel? Oh, you can sit there just so nice, look so righteous with your smiley face and not believe one thing. You know that? And that's why you cannot walk with God. You are stiff-necked, uncircumcised of heart, rebellious as you can be, but oh, am I holy. That's the world, folks, and it's a mess. If you don't know, the Spirit of God has been poured out in the world in the last 40, 50 years, and the flesh is running to and fro, looking for knowledge, the book of Daniel, running to and fro, seeking for knowledge, and they're not getting it, you know? They want the wrong knowledge. They don't want to humble themselves and say, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, grant me the grace and the mercy to hear your voice and to receive that one that was raised from the dead. That's the beginning of repentance. And God's the only one that can lead you to that altar. You don't have to come to an altar. You can bow right out there in the middle of that red carpet. You can bow in the middle of a grassy field. You can go out in the woods where no one will see but the squirrels. They have squirrels where you live. But only God can lead you to repentance. You may be walking down the sidewalks of New York City, and God will lead you to repentance right there. And what he does, they'll probably say, what's wrong with that guy or that woman? What's going on? Look at that. Would you see that? When God leads you to repentance, you don't care who's around you. Could we go on? Right. Is that enough said?
Enough said.
Good, thank you.
Romans 2:4. Or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
That's it. It's the goodness of God. Not your goodness. The goodness of God that leads you and I to repentance. Did you know you can't repent unless God leads you? I said this in a way, but you can't go to some preacher's altar and say you're repenting. You can't go somewhere and cry and say that's repentance. It will not work. Repentance is a change of the heart and the will of a human being, and it's performed by the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, is that satisfactory? What did I do next?
John 6:44.
You know what that says? John 6:44 says no one can come to Jesus except the Father draw them. Is that what that says?
That's what that says.
No kidding. Did you know a preacher can have some song group singing Just As I Am? You can sing it and sing it and sing it and sing it and sing it over and over, and the congregation begins to weep and just keeps on weeping, and you have not met Jesus yet. Did you know, when I received Jesus Christ, you know what I was doing? Sitting on a gravel pile, playing in the gravel, and talking to Jesus. That's what I was doing. I was almost 6 years old. And then one day, after years of rebellion, about 31, you know what? I said, okay, Lord, all right, I've had enough. Whatever you do in my life, do it. That was it. There's a guy, a television preacher here in Dallas, Fort Worth. I don't know if he's a television preacher, but he's on television. He preaches. And he had me one night. He and his wife were interviewing me. And I was talking about God. And so, sometime in the conversation, I said, I told Jesus, okay, you can do with what you want to in my life. And he said, man, I wondered when you were going to get saved. Well, silly, I was born again, and I was saved, but I was rebellious, and you need your soul saved. and not continue to be rebellious. And that's different than what you are used to. What do we do next?
1 Timothy 2:4.
1 Timothy 2:4?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good one. First of all, that God would have you pray for all men. All men. And why don't you read the first four verses?
Okay. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Have you ever read that verse? If you don't notice, without prayer, people won't get saved. Prayer precedes being receiving Christ. Oh, you take this out of context. You want to know what your denominational people do? You go and get them saved. No, you don't. No. God says he would that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. I asked a Baptist preacher, a graduate of seminary, not long ago, if he believed that a person could lose their salvation by going under the law. And he said, I've got to think about that. And I've seen him several times since. He hadn't thought it out. Amen. He hadn't thought it out. If you get born again and go back under the law, you lose your salvation. The only way you get out from under it is God leads you to repentance. Be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Matthew 28 tells us, go into all the world, make Christians of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever Jesus commanded. Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever Jesus had commanded them, then they will become Christians. That's how you make a Christian. No, you're not a Christian standing at some preacher's crusade and receive Christ and get in some denominational church and call yourself a Christian. You're kidding yourself. You're not a Christian at all. You're someone that received Christ and backslid. As soon as you walked out. And that's most of America. And that's why this very day in America we have the communists trying to take our country over. Because we have a whole bunch of hypocrites that say they're Christians and they're not Christians at all. Amen. What do I do next?
2 Corinthians 7:8-12.
Oh, this is a good one.
We're doing great.
Oh, we got a lot of time?
Mm-hmm.
You bet I got to talk more than I think.
Yep, about 15, well, about 12 minutes.
We got 12 more?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, I want to sit down. Did you know I have more fun now teaching than I ever did?
I know.
Yeah, you know what? I'm free. I am free of a lot of things. And you know what? I don't care what you think of me. I don't care what you think. Like some talk show host here in Dallas, Fort Worth, called me a wacko preacher. Well, glory. I tell you what, I'd rather be a wacko preacher than a wacko talk show host. Amen. Now, where were we?
2 Corinthians 7:8-12.
The Apostle Paul.
Right.
Writing to the church. Oh, writing a letter about a person, right?
Right.
And that letter made him sorry. And you know, Paul even repented that he wrote that letter. You see, I don't enjoy some of the things I have to say. No one, no man of God, no. Ezekiel 33, the Lord says, why will you die? Why will you die? He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And it's Christ in me. He takes no pleasure in speaking some of the things to you that he has to speak. But you will not receive the engrafted word of God with meekness. You're full of naughtiness, superfluous things. You just won't humble yourself and receive the engrafted word of God with meekness. He said, what's wrong with your voice? Nothing. You're demons. Oh, that's what I'm battling with. Do you know I can break through and my voice is as clear as it was when I was 16? And I start back praying, and in 2 minutes, I'm back in the war. You've heard me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why? Because I'm always fighting with your devils, and you got a lot of them. Now, let's see what Paul did or wrote in this letter, this epistle to the Corinthians. Go ahead and read that.
8-12. For though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorry, though it be but for a season. Would now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Therefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that did the wrong, but for this cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you.
Now, you can read this yourself, and you meditate on it. And Kathy just read it to you. There are two kinds of sorrow, one worldly and one godly. Two kinds of repentance. I'm sorry. You repent of nothing. And godly repentance. And guess what? That comes about by sorrow, godly sorrow. You will feel terrible. Terrible. And when the heart shows repentance, and God's work is through in you, then you will be set free, and salvation comes that you need not to repent of again. There is such a difference in godly sorrow and the sorrow of the devil. You know, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, and I've been this way 40 years. And several years back, there was a man named Melton Green. He's a friend of James Robinson, a well-known evangelist from mid-cities here in the Dallas and Fort Worth. And Melton Green had been introduced to me by a friend of both, a mutual friend. And we had lunch. And while we were having lunch, he said, I would like you to come to my cafeteria tomorrow, need it by cafeteria. And I thought, well, you know, a cafeteria is a cafeteria to me. So I went to his office. When I got to his office, we got in his van and went to eat. On the way, he said he and James Robinson had been repenting all day yesterday. I said, all day? What in the world were you and James doing? Took all day to repent. He looked at me like I just fell off, falling off of Mars. We went into to eat in this cafeteria. We were standing in line. We were talking about casting out devils, Jesus casting out devils. Melton Green said to me, I used to do it that way, but I found a better way. I thought, my God, you improved over Jesus? Improved over Jesus. And we sat down, and all of a sudden, he threw up his hands, oh God, forgive me. And he started confessing something to me that really all it was an illness. An illness. Well, of course, illnesses are caused by sin. They're caused by sin. And God told me to tell him these verses. And I thought, Lord, this guy cast the devil out of James Robinson? It's 1987. I think it was that year. Close. And I didn't do it. The only time I ever failed to obey God. The next day I was making a radio, buy radio tapes, and I'd done three of them, and God said, get up and get out of here. And I walked, got up and left that room, and there was Patty coming down the hall and said, Melton Green's on the phone. I said, oh? Yeah. God said, now tell him what I told you to tell him yesterday. And I did. He said, brother, don't you believe in repentance? I said, yes, when it's God. The man was dead in 6 months. Now, the reason God's telling all you people this is going to happen to you if you don't pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying. I take no pleasure in reporting this, but I've obeyed God. What's next, dear?
2 Timothy 2:23-26.
Oh, yeah. Amen. I didn't know we were going to take up so much time.
We're doing fine.
Well, I know. But I thought we were running out of material.
This is the last verse.
Oh, I know. 1 Timothy chapter 2.
2 Timothy.
Oh, 2 Timothy. Well,
chapter
would you
2,
read it?
23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Let's read the first verse. Verse 4.
But foolish, but foolish and unlearned.
No. The next.
And the servant of the Lord must not strive.
Stop. The servant of the Lord must not strive. You got that? If you've got strife in your heart, you cannot do one thing. Continue on.
But be gentle unto all men.
Gentle to all men. Now, let me tell you something. That doesn't mean gentle to the devil. That devil beat me up over these verses. Because Jesus in me will not put up with the devil. No way. Now, and you'll find me as gentle as anything you've ever seen. And then you will find coming out of me as tough as anything you've ever met. And you hope you never meet it again. But it's Jesus of Nazareth. Now the next verse.
Apt to teach patience. In me.
Right. Apt to teach patience. That's what I do. If I can sit and talk to you and teach and not try to teach your devils, it is a pleasant experience. But when I'm trying to teach your devils, which cannot be done, it's nothing but a war. Now listen to the next verse.
In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves.
In meekness, mild. My goodness. Instructing them that oppose themselves. Can we adjust this sound? Thank God. Amen. In meekness. Instructing those. Apt to teach. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Read that next verse.
In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves.
Wait a minute. They oppose themselves. They do not agree with what God says about them. They oppose themselves. Next verse.
if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Right. If God will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. Now look at the next part of this verse. Or it may be the next verse.
And they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Right. Did you know what in the world? Did you know that people oppose themselves and God can grant you repentance, if he will, but you will have to receive instruction, and God will grant you repentance that you can recover yourself out of the snare of the devil. Did you know my second wife got caught up in pride, started opposing herself, and she could not repent. God wouldn't grant her repentance. Terry Myatt, before he went to heaven, told her exactly what her problem was in the presence of four or five people. She wouldn't listen. And today she's wandering around somewhere, I don't know, miserable, because she opposed herself and she would not receive instruction that the devil had her. We got anything else left?
No, we don't.
I think I'm going to quit. What do you say? What do you say we worship God? Amen? Thank God. All the boys come up. Let's worship. We're turning by on in worship and water blind people. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thank you.
We invite you to visit Water of Life Church at 1621 18th Street in Plano, Texas. Or for further information, call area code 972-578-8082. That's 972-578-8082. Or write Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. That's Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. This program was paid for by Water of Life Church.